We start in the first chapter of Proverbs. As I put this lesson together, it dawned on me this should have been, it seems, one of the first lessons that we brought out of the book of Proverbs. Because we could pretty much sum up the book in this lesson. In fact, it got bigger and bigger as I looked at this general thought of the foolish and the wise. Foolish and the wise. I will warn you this morning that I have probably 100 verses in the book of Proverbs referenced. Some of them I'll just have to read for you. If you prefer to turn, I just would encourage you if you're interested to either make notes of these verses or send me an email and I'll send you the outline. But as I said, we began to look at these principles this morning in the lesson. Grew. In fact, I might be biting off more than I can chew this morning. If that's the case, we'll come back and finish the second part of the lesson at another time. I do plan on taking a break next week from Proverbs. So if we have to break the lesson up, it might be a bit awkward with a 2-week interim. So I'm going to try my best to get this in. And I want you to think about this. Now, when we use the word fool, and I probably should reference the words of Christ regarding our calling someone a fool. I don't have time to deal with that, but Jesus called people fools. Paul called people fools. And then Jesus says, don't call people fools. Is this a contradiction? The answer is no. Jesus did not contradict himself. Jesus was not contradicting Solomon when he said, don't call people fools. And I would be glad to talk to you about that after service if you've struggled with that verse. Let me just say this. Don't be superstitious about the Word of God. If you utter the word fool, that somehow you're going to go to hell. That's not what Jesus was saying. In fact, you ought to read the context of that chapter where Jesus speaks of these things and read that verse in the context. But we shouldn't be superstitious. That's one thing that troubles me about what I see in folk who call themselves Christian. I'm speaking very broadly here. That it's almost like men are looking for some magical way around the cross. I'll leave that alone. Just leave it for what it's worth. We don't have time. The ways of a fool. As we have done in this study of Proverbs, we will do today, and that is we'll look at the words that are translated fool or foolish or foolishness in the book of Proverbs. And I think we can gain some insight. In chapter 1, we began here last week. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The first thing we need to understand about the fool today is the fool's depravity. The fool's depravity. This word fool is evil, and it is from a root word meaning perverse. He is one who despises wisdom, as we see in verse 7. One who mocks when guilty, is quarrelsome, is licentious. That is the depraved fool. He, as we see in the book of Proverbs, as we look at this word evil, he does what is right in his own eyes. That's perverse. That's depraved. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes.
chapter 12, verse 15.
And it doesn't stop there. But the perverse fool, the depraved fool, is offended by what is truly right. Did not Jesus speak of this when he said that there will come a day when those that put you to death will think they're doing God's service? When we stand up in our day, and it will be just, we will be giving you so many examples this morning that will surely cause you to reflect on our society. Hopefully it causes us to reflect on our lives. But do we not see that when someone stands up for right, for truth, that he is mocked? It is abomination, chapter 13 says in verse 19, it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Isn't that interesting, that word abomination? We've spoken of that recently about how nauseating that is. It is nauseating to a fool to leave his evil. Now that's perverse. That's depraved, right? The depraved fool rejects any submission to God. Fools make a mock at sin. Now that verse is interesting. Chapter 14, verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. That word sin there is literally the sin offering. In fact, I think one of the versions at least interprets it that way or translates it that way. Fools make a mock at the sin offering. They're making a mock at God, at His way. They resist, reject any submission to God. They despise good teaching. Chapter 15, verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. They despise good people. 15:20, a foolish man despiseth his mother. A foolish man, that is a depraved man, a perverse man, despises his mom. The depraved fool is angry, angry at the Lord. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth, the King James says, fretteth against the Lord, against Jehovah. He's angry at God, this depraved fool. Well, he's got to trust in something. He hates God. He hates God's people. What does he trust in? Well, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is depraved, is perverse. Of course, we know about the heart, don't we? Jeremiah teaches us about the heart. Desperately wicked. Can I say it this way? I am the last person that I would trust with my soul. The old Puritan said, if I could lose my salvation, I most certainly would. That's me. I don't know how you feel about you, but that's how I feel about me. I am incapable of keeping me. I don't trust me. I don't trust in me. That's perverse. The fool's depravity. Now, the second word that we would look at regarding the fool is the word pathē, and it means simple or naive. And perhaps that's what we think of most when we think of a fool. He's just a simpleton. Or if you don't have this word in your vocabulary, maybe you could put it there. He's a dullard. A dullard. I kind of like that. I don't know why. I just kind of like that. Dullard. Maybe because it reminds me of me. I don't know. But now, This word, pathay, I think is key to our understanding the fool. And that is, the fool is not only depraved, the fool is deficient. He's deficient. If you want to go over to chapter 7, in verse 21, Solomon looked out his window and he saw a simple man, a young man void of understanding. And there met him a woman in verse 10 with the attire of an harlot. And you know the story. But verse 21, it says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, and I love the King James here, she forced him. She forced him with a spear? No. With a gun? No. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. The fool, and it, as I say, important for us to understand, when we think about the foolish, they're deficient. They are powerless to resist sin, even if they wanted to. Powerless. A deficient fool is not only powerless, he is disappointing to others. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. The deficient fool is destructive to precious things. In chapter 14, verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. She destroys. It's like everything she touches or he touches just falls apart. Why? Because they can't. The depraved fool won't. The deficient fool can't. He can't. He's unable to be taught. And there are many verses in the book of that reinforce this thought. But in chapter 16, verse 22, the instruction of fools is folly. Instruction of fools is folly. I spent a few years in school trying to teach kids. It's rewarding, but there are certain times when you literally, not just figurative, literally throw your hands up and say, that's it. I can't do anything with these kids. But we need to remember, as teachers, as parents, as light to this world, as preachers of the gospel, the fool is deficient. He's deficient. Can't. Go up to a blind man and shake him with, grab his shoulders and shake him and say, why won't you just see? And if he's got any sense, he'll grab you by the collar and punch you right between the eyes and say, because I can't, you idiot. I can't see. And that's important for us to understand as we interact with this world, with foolish people. Yes, they are depraved. But remember, they're deficient. They're incapable of being disciplined, Proverbs says. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Beat it out of them. Is our approach sometimes, but then we come to the end of that and nothing's changed. The deficient fool was unsuitable for honor. Chapter 26, verse 1, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Also chapter 26, verse 8. The deficient fool is incapable of speaking wisely. A parable in the mouth of fools is referred to as likened to the legs of the lame being not equal. The deficient fool is incapable of escaping his folly. Why don't you just do right, fool? Why don't you just act right, sinner? As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. What's he doing? This picture, this simile of a dog returning to his vomit kind of hits home with us. We have a sick dog at home. And, you know, we coddle our pets and we name them, which history will look back on us and laugh at that. But we name animals Frankie. And we start to attribute human characteristics to this animal. And we buy them little clothes. That's another one we'll get laughed at about. In the wintertime, come and visit my house and you'll see Frankie has his little camouflage hoodie. And it's got a little zipper pocket in the back for a treat, just in case he's on a long journey. And we start talking to them and it's like they're talking back. We teach them to speak like they care. What do they want? They want a treat. For crying out loud, they don't care about us. They want their treat. And we'll forget sometimes that a dog is by nature a dog. Write that one down. A dog by nature is still a dog. And as a dog, returneth and laps up. Now, my dog's a little more cultured than that, but maybe yours is not. He returns to the vomit and laps it up. Say, Frank, what in the world are you thinking? I'm a dog, don't forget. Naturally, I'm going to do what dogs do. A fool returns to his own vomit in the sense that he will do what is natural for him to do. And that is, again, what I would reinforce, so vital, that sinners are going to do what comes natural. Just like you did before Christ saved you. You just did what came natural. But it doesn't stop there. There's another word. The word is TL. And the word TL, this gets us to the place of recognizing the quintessential fool. Because he is not only stupid, and I'm not making that word up, that's the definition. He's arrogant. He is stupid, and he's arrogant about it. And already, your mind is racing. Because you know that feller, don't you? You work with that guy that is not only a fool, but it's like he's proud of it. It's like he wants to just open his mouth wide and let it go and show you how big a fool he is. Was it Lincoln? I don't even know if I should try to that quote, but I might butcher it, but better to keep your mouth closed and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and to remove all doubt. If that's not the quote, that should be. Okay. He is comfortable in his foolishness. Look at chapter 1 again, if you would. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? We talked about this last week, I believe it was. And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. You love being simple. The fool. The defiant fool. And this is the word that we see more often in the book of Proverbs for fool. He's stupid and he's arrogant. He babbles in his foolishness. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow. But a prating fool, that is a babbling fool, shall fall. That's chapter 10, which says a lot about the fool. He slanders others. Chapter 10, again, verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. He is stupid and arrogant about it. He is a fool and proud of it. I watched video this week of a man who drove a scissor lift to lunch. You know what that is? The little box thing they stand up in, they hit the button and it raises up. He drove it from his workplace to lunch and was returning to the workplace, and the sheriff pulled him over and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I just went over here to get some lunch. I'm going back to work." Now, that was a foolish thing to do. But when he, when the sheriff approached the scissor lift and the fellow hit the button and started raising the scissor lift up in the air, that was not only foolish, but that was arrogant. Like, what are you going to do to me? I got the button right here. Defiant. The heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. He babbles about. He laughs in his foolishness. Chapter 10 again, verse 23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. He flaunts his foolishness. Chapter 13, verse 16, a fool layeth open his folly. He's confident in his foolishness. Chapter 14, this is amazing. The fool rageth and is confident. We're talking about the defiant fool. Stupid and arrogant. He feeds on his foolishness. Find that in chapter 15, verse 14. The mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. And he's always there. This is the guy that's always there. If there's trouble, he's there. He's either made it or he is intermeddled with it. He either caused it or he has inflamed it. Every fool will be meddling. That's chapter 20, verse 3. So in understanding the fool, there are four things. We've dealt with three of them. The fool is depraved. He's perverse. The fool is deficient. Not only he won't, but simply he can't. Can't change. The fool is defiant. And he's not only a fool, but he's loud about it. He's prating about it. He's He's boasting in his foolishness. But let us never forget the fourth thing, and that is the fool's destiny. Because the fourth word is Nabal. And it is from the root word Nabel. And in the authorized version, Nabel is translated fade. Fade away. Wear away. Wither. Disgrace. Fall down. Come to naught. Fall off. It's easy sometimes to laugh at the redneck in the scissor lift. Don't forget his destiny. Chapter 3 tells us shame is coming. Verse 35. Chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Their destiny is not only shame, but it's pain. It's servitude. Chapter 11, verse 29. The fool shall be servant to the wise. It's poverty. According to chapter 21, verse 20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. It's like that foolish woman who tears her house down. And ultimately, and we know this, but it is important, I think, and good for us to hear it again. Ultimately, the destiny for the fool is death. Fools die for want of wisdom. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. That is, the resistance that the fool or the simpleton displays toward right things, towards good things, towards wise counsel, that will slay them. That will ultimately be their undoing. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That is, the ease, the complacency of fools will ultimately be their destruction. Spurgeon says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And this he does because he is a fool. Being a fool, he speaks according to his nature. Being a fool, a great fool, he meddles with a great subject and comes to a wild conclusion. Yesterday I was at a clinic, an asthma clinic, and it's all volunteer. I'll talk more Wednesday night about this if you'll come back, because you need to hear it. But it's all volunteer. It was all free. You know what that word free means, you know, to a certain extent. It was to me. And I asked them, can I donate? And they said no. And I asked them, can I help? And they said, yes, you can help. Give us your email address. You can help. And I thought about that driving home. I'm not a medical kind of guy. I don't even like, you know, any of that. You know, don't touch me. You know, I'll hold the stethoscope. You keep your distance. You know, that type of thing. And how awkward, how perverse would it be for me to show up at the clinic and I have taken it upon myself to get me one of those fancy stethoscopes. And to tell the folks there, well, I'll tell you what, I'll see the next patient. That's foolish. Why? Because I don't know anything about it. I'm going to tackle a practice with such importance being a fool or at least ignorant
of medical things,
how much greater is it for the foolish man to defy, to deny the existence of God? He is tackling, Spurgeon says, a great subject. He comes to a wild conclusion, Spurgeon continues. The atheist is morally as well as mentally a fool. A fool in the heart as well as in the head. A fool in morals as well as in philosophy. With the denial of God as a starting point, which last week we talked about the fear of God being our starting point, right? The fool has as his starting point the denial of God. We may well conclude that the fool's progress is a rapid, riotous, raving, ruinous one. That's the destiny of the fool. Well, we have contrast in the book of Proverbs. Over and over again, we have contrast. The ways of the wise. This one won't be as long. This is more fundamental for you this morning, and we won't reference as many verses. But the first thing we need to understand is wisdom is a God-given understanding. The word is being, B-I-Y-N translated. It means understanding. It means prudent. It means discernment or discerning. It means perceptive or to perceive. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. The lesson, the instruction, the wisdom, the law, the discipline enters in to a wise man. Where did we get the ability, you who are alive in Christ, where did you get the ability to understand these things? From Him. What perspective this morning? Such were some of you. Some of you could tell stories about how foolish you were. No, or maybe a stronger statement is warranted. Some of you could tell stories. Some of us could tell stories about how big of a fool I was. How much a fool I was. I not only did foolish things, I was a fool. But I've been given light. I've been given ears to hear. You see, that doesn't lend itself to arrogance. It shouldn't create in us some self-righteous superiority when we look at the fool. But thanksgiving. Thank you for the ears to hear. Thank you for opening my eyes. Wisdom is a God-given light, a God-given understanding. Now, I probably should clarify the word here, B-I-Y-N, most often is translated in Proverbs, understanding. But one time, it's translated wise. Wise. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that in the King James Version. I didn't look at the other versions, but I do appreciate that in the King James. And then, because that's the place we should start in keeping things in perspective. I am what I am by the grace of God. If I have any wisdom today, it's because of Him. But it's not enough, as we learned Wednesday night again, it's not enough just to hear. It's a big deal to hear. It's a miracle that you hear. Lazarus was lying there. I'm not talking about the rich man and Lazarus now like we did last week. I'm talking about Mary and Martha's brother. He was lying there with ears, just like those other people, perhaps in the tombs nearby, were lying with ears. But there was one who heard the Lord, heard the Master say His name, Lazarus. Now that's a miracle. It's a big deal to hear. We ought to thank the Lord that He's given us ears to hear and eyes to see. But that's not all there is. Jesus said, hear and what? Do. If you hear My words and doeth them. You see, the next word is thekal, and it means to be prudent. It means to be circumspect. It means to look at, to give attention to ponder, to prosper. It means to act wisely. It's not enough that we hear. It's good that we hear. It's amazing. It's a miracle. But it's enabling us to act upon what we hear. His words were life. Now He says, go live. I'm teaching you what is right. Now apply it. Amen. Wisdom is not only a God-given understanding, it is a deliberate application. That's the wise guy. That's the wise feller. The wise woman. They are wise at work. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Wise with their words. He that refraineth his lips is wise. See, this is proactive. There's a part of this wisdom thing that is simple discipline. Amen. Take time to be holy. They are wise in service. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. Sekal, a servant who is proactive. A servant who takes what he knows and applies it and lives and serves. He's wise in learning. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. He gets it. He applies it. He works it out in his life. He's wise in observing. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Applying. Observing. Learning. Waking in the morning. Applying. What you've heard. I don't know how the world survives without the house of God to come to. I don't know how the fool survives. Because what I take often, no, always, from the house of God, the Word of God being preached and taught and sung, I take truth. Take the words of God. Take them with me. Apply them. That's wisdom. And this leads to the last thing. And that wisdom
is a profound skill.
Now, this one troubled me a little bit. But the word chakam, or kakam, that is most often translated wise or wisdom in the book of Proverbs means literally skill. I had to think about that. Skill? Wisdom is not skill, I thought. Then I thought, but isn't it? Isn't it? The wise man, he knows how to live. He's equipped by God's grace with true understanding. He diligently applies that understanding to his life. And simply put, he knows how to live. He's successful. He wins. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He's skillful in hearing. He's skillful in learning. Give instruction to a wise man and he'll be wiser. He's skillful in ministry. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He's profitable in words. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Chapter 12, verse 18. He's helpful in teaching. Chapter 13, verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. That is, the instruction of the wise man or woman is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The wise man knows how to live. He is diligent in holiness. The wise man feareth and departeth from evil. He's effective in peacemaking. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. He's consistent. He is enduring. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Listen, I want to finish well, don't you? I want to come to the end of this thing still following, still hearing, still applying. Wise provide for his house, for their house. There's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. The wise conquer the mighty. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. The wise reprove with positive results. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. I'm talking about a man, a woman who knows how to live. It's like he knows the answers. How does he do that? He knows how to raise those kids. How does he do that? He's the one, Brother Charles, that the boss calls in. Although he's not next in command, he's the worker out there that the boss calls in and says, "Hey, I've got a problem. Let me ask you what you think." He knows how to live. He's a winner. Rich? Not by this world's standards, perhaps. But we know he's rich. Rich in wisdom. Since the fall of man, the world has never lacked for fools. Our day is no different. Turn on the news. I don't recommend it. But turn on the news, and the broadcast, radio, television, will be replete with stories of folks doing foolish things, uttering foolish comments, making foolish decisions. And we tend to shake our heads and say, what was he thinking? What was he thinking? In fact, we chuckle when we see the guy on the scissor lift. One guy recently, while holding up a store, handed the gun to the clerk and said, "Hey, could you hold this for a second?" And hold this off. We chuckle. It's funny because, by definition, fools are stupid. But more troubling to us is when we see foolish men make life-altering decisions. And still more troubling is when we remember the destiny of a fool. It's death. It's destruction. Let's not forget that fools are not only depraved and defiant, but they're deficient in discernment, in understanding, in wisdom. Headed to hell. There's hope. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What does it do? It makes wise simple. There's hope. Lord Jesus Christ still saves, doesn't he? He converts, changes, he opens ears, he opens eyes. And so with this newness of life, we who were once fools, and may I just clarify that sometimes we still do those foolish things, but we were once fools with our eyes closed, but now we are enlightened. Our eyes open, our ears open. And we are numbered among the wise. We can hear. But wisdom is more than just hearing God's word. Wisdom is application. Wisdom is doing. That's the one whose house is built on the rock. And it stands. He's the wise man. And he knows how to live. Path of life. Father, thank you this morning for your word. How precious. Father, thank you for opening our eyes. And while sometimes we don't feel very wise, and we still make mistakes as foolish men make, Father, you've given us the understanding, the discernment, the wisdom to win, to live, to honor you, the power through our Lord Jesus Christ to pursue holiness. Father, make us more like Christ, the wisdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.